We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome in to the Week 18 edition, first ever time we can say that, of the DFS OGs podcast. I am your host, Beer, joined as always by my boys, Head Chopper and Notorious, to navigate to these Week 18 waters. We'll look into which teams still have something to play for. Of course, give some of our favorite bets here early in the week and look at the DFS slate as well. We are presented by our friends over at FanDuel. Make sure you guys are joining our FanDuel contest one more week. Still a shot to win some money in that thing. We'll take a look at some of the top finishers in Week 17. Take a look at that season-long leaderboard as well, but you can find that at FanDuel.com/OG. Still $400 to be won. Still some RotoGrinders premium to be won. Still a lot on the line here for us in Week 18. So make sure you're coming and joining us there. But let me get to my boys, check in, see how Week 17 went, how New Year's went. Chop, we'll start with you. Happy New Year, my man. I know we're 5-6 days in here now, so there's a certain cutoff how long you could say Happy New Year, but we have not talked here in 2022. So Happy New Year. How was Week 17? How we doing, my man?
Doing well. Week 17 was, it was run of the mill. It was fun with some good college action, but yeah, it's crazy. It's coming. This is it, man. We've grinded through the whole season, and now we're here. So should be interesting. We have a different format for the playoffs this year that I'm looking forward to. These week 17/18s always get me. I don't ever do too particularly well in DFS on them, just because there's just so many names out there that are going to pop up, and so we'll see how it plays, man. But everything going well.
Good to hear. Any thoughts here, Chop? I'm going to stay with you. We got Georgia, Alabama, kind of what we thought. You know, Michigan was a nice little story. Cincinnati goes undefeated, but we get the rematch here. Just a little college football talk here before we dive into the NFL. Thoughts on that game? Does Georgia get its redemption in the rematch with Alabama?
I think so, but it's really tough to say. It's really close, but I think Georgia's the better team, and now we're in the finals, and so I'm going to lean on the more talented team, and they don't have as good a coaching, but I think they can offset it with the talent. And there's a difference between really wanting to win a game and really needing to win a game. And Alabama needed to win; they absolutely needed to win that game they played a few weeks ago against Georgia. Georgia just wanted to win. It's a big difference there. I got a feeling we'll see a different Georgia team, so I'm leaning on Georgia right now.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the defense is better. We'll see. Alabama kind of shocked them in the last game. I expect them to be a little bit better prepared here. Should be a good game. Derek, I don't want to leave you out in the cold here, my man. Happy New Year to you as well. How was New Year's? How was Week 17? How we doing, buddy?
Yeah, Happy New Year. It's one of those things when it comes to New Year's Eve, it's always such a buildup and then just ends up being, you know, pretty boring. Never quite lives up to the hype, but I'm doing good, and we like to say this is a first look show, and this is literally my first look at the entire slate. So take what we say with a grain of salt. There's going to be a lot of news. I'm sure there's a lot of teams that have nothing to play for. So it's going to be an interesting week for sure. But I dusted out the old Hattie B's hat for some good luck, since hasn't been the best season thus far.
Yep, trying to catch chop here in the Pick'em contest. So we'll update that as well. 1 week left for us here. Pretty decent weeks all around for everybody once again. So, Derek, I know you did some number crunching. All three of us over 50% on our picks this season. So, hey, you're above that line. Yeah, you're paying some juice, but you were giving some winners here. So we hope to continue that here in week 18. So I believe we have 13 games on the main slate, two Saturday games, which we will not cover. We'll have you covered over at RotoGrinders top to bottom for those two games. And then we have that Sunday night game, Chargers and Raiders, with everything to play for. So we'll tie in the motivations for all of these teams as well. Do our best to navigate things here early in the week. So, guys, let's dive in. First game up, Green Bay and Detroit. We'll use the numbers out of the FanDuel Sportsbook, of course. We have Green Bay sitting at 3.5-point favorites here, 44.5 on this total. So, Derek, we'll start with you in this one. I think the story here is Green Bay going to play their guys or not? Aaron Rodgers has been very vocal. He wants to play. We'll see if he gets his wish. Do they play them a series, a quarter? We know they've locked in the number one seed, so really nothing to play for here. But you got to buy next week, so do you really want to sit out 2 weeks? So answer that question. What do you think happens here with Green Bay? Detroit side, we'll see if Jared Goff is back in that lineup or not. Sounds like another questionable week for him here. So what does Green Bay do here, Derek? What should they do here in this spot against the Lions?
I mean, it's hard for me to see them giving Aaron Rodgers four quarters, but he's going for the MVP. He's pretty much got it locked up as long as, he doesn't do anything terrible in this game and doesn't mean anything to the team, like you mentioned. So I would expect, maybe a quarter, maybe a half of their usual offense. And if that's the case, we can't play anybody because you can't play the backups because they're not going to see full run, and we can't play the starters because, they're not going to see full run either. So unless, we get news that Rodgers and Jones are both out and Adams and all them, I don't think we need to look to the Packers for DFS purposes. For the Lions, do we know if Swift's going to play? Because, last week they were saying they were going to give him full snaps and then sit him out this week.
I did not see an injury designation for him. So, but you're right. I mean, he didn't see the ball much at all. Four carries, just three targets. So it's tough to trust him. If they didn't roll him out last week, why would they do it this week? So no tag, but tough to pull the trigger on him.
Yeah, so keep an eye on that. I mean, if he's out, you get a revenge game for Jamal Williams. That might be a little bit interesting. But Amon-Ra St. Brown, by far my favorite play in this game. He just continues to see more and more work, and he continues to get better each week. So he would be the only guy that I would look to in this entire game. And for my pick, just because we don't know who's going to be active for the Packers, I'm going to take the under.
All right, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown's been fantastic. I mean, we're talking 11, 11, 11, 12, 12 in targets over the last 5 weeks. The problem is if it's not Jared Goff, let's not forget Tim Boyle, former Green Bay Packers. So who's going to know him better than this coaching staff, than this team? So I do like the Green Bay defense here. But again, Derek, the problem, like you said, we don't know who's going to play here. We're going to run into a lot of that here. We want to give you this first look, but there's still a lot of unanswered questions that we'll have to be waiting on. But we'll do our best to navigate things here. Chop, over to you. Same questions. What do you think Green Bay does here with Rodgers, Adams, and company? What should they do here in this spot against Detroit?
I don't have an answer for either one of those questions, honestly, because like if they had to play a game next week in the playoffs, hey, I for sure 100% you're sitting these guys. But 2 weeks off, 3 weeks without playing football, there could be a serious, issue with that, maybe, that they're thinking rust and whatnot. So because they have a bye week next week already, I really don't know what they're going to do. And I don't know the optimal thing here. So I'm with Derek in the fact that I don't think I want to play any Green Bay guys because of the uncertainty. And on the other side, the quarterback is bad for Detroit. We don't think, even if it's Jared Goff, it's bad. DeAndre Swift is out there like, probably going to get just a few carries or whatever, even if he plays this week. And the only one you can trust in this game, in my opinion, is St. Brown. And he's due to fall off here, that's for sure. So I wouldn't put anything past that. But he's about the only DFS guy I'm thinking about. I don't know what Green Bay is going to do, man. It's a real guessing game. Their coaches, somewhat intelligent. You know, we've gathered that so far, so he'll make a good decision, I'm sure. And we'll just have to keep our ears open and see what happens, because it's going to swing. Like, if you tell me Aaron Rodgers is going to play a half and Devontae is going to play one half and all that, I'd be tempted to take Green Bay here if I knew that, because I think that's enough to beat Detroit. But not knowing any of it is very difficult. So what did Derek take here?
Derek locked. I'm gonna have to alternate you two here.
No, I know he
got Derek the under. Took the under.
I think it's a great bet, just for the sake of some gamesmanship here. I'm gonna take Detroit.
All right, I am gonna take Green Bay, and I do think that's what we see. Chop, you just nailed it. I do think that the guys will start. I think they'll play a half. That way, you kind of satisfy your star players. Okay, let them get out there. Let them go through their weekly regimen and routine, because I have the same concerns. If you're resting this week, next week, I mean, that's 2 weeks without football. These guys are creatures of habit. And we've seen Green Bay be the number one seed, rest their guys, and it didn't end well. So there's probably a sour taste with that as well. So I think we'll see them. I don't think we see them a whole game. So that being said, I think that's enough to get it done. This Detroit team is playing hard, playing spirited, but I think Green Bay gets it done here. So I'll take Green Bay minus the 3.5. All right, next game, Chop, Indy and Jacksonville. Indy, huge favorites here, 15.5, very simple. Colts win and they're in. Jacksonville locked into that number one draft pick. So not a ton here for Jacksonville, but Indy, everything to play for. I just can't see them slipping up in the spot. Now, they have struggled in their last few visits to Jacksonville. Pretty sure they haven't won there since 2014. Is there any way, Chop, that they slip up in this spot? And is Jonathan Taylor, I know you don't love the term must play, but feels like a good spot for him, even at a 10.2 FanDuel tag. I think he's one of the better running back plays on the week.
Yeah, I think he's one of the better plays. I would say this. I've seen enough of these week 17, I've seen enough of these over the years to have gotten a pretty good taste of when you think a team is, you know, they have to win to get in. Okay, they have to win to get in, and they probably do win to get in. But when you think, well, these guys are must plays now because they have to win against Jacksonville, sometimes it doesn't. Like, sometimes they know, well, we're in. We're going to beat Jacksonville. We're up, you know, 23-6 right now. This is a no-brainer. We got to play next week. Let's throttle off of Jonathan Taylor now. Let's take it a notch back. Let's take it a notch back on Michael Pittman. And sometimes these guys you think are in must-wins like this, because of the opponent factor, which is not very good here, they're really not that good in DFS. So while Jonathan Taylor is a great play, probably RB1, if I was to rank him right now, I don't think he's a must-play. Because you just never know. There could already be, you know, thinking about a game plan of if when we get up by two scores in the second half, are we pulling off of Jonathan Taylor? And then that could make it really tough. So, well, I think he's a great play and Pittman is a fine play. Nobody's a must play this week. And Jacksonville, yeah, it's probably nobody on my radar for Jacksonville. It's a huge number on the road here, but yeah, I think I still got to go Indy to wipe the floor clean with them early and then get their starters off the field. And I hope they don't bust the spread, but I'm taking Indy.
All right, big number there, 15.5. So I'm going to go under. I do think we get an uglier game. I do think the Colts likely get out to that lead, like you mentioned. And Jonathan Taylor could be a big part of that. I mean, you could see him put 2-3 touchdowns on the board and be done for the day. But I have some similar concerns here. But I do think they get out to a lead, put it in cruise control. I just don't see Jacksonville all of a sudden mustering up a bunch of offense here. You're missing James Robinson. It's just been a disaster, Derek. As you know, this is your squad. I'm going to go under here. I do think the Colts get the win, but I think we get an ugly game here. Derek, your thoughts here. Colts, Jaguars.
Yeah, it's an ugly game. And, you know, you guys hit on Taylor. He seems like one of the safer plays on the board. But we kind of said that last week, too. And then throughout the week, more and more, you know, running back plays opened up. And seemed like the 5-6K, you know, running backs ended up being what you needed in tournaments. So for Taylor to really get there, you know, he's going to have a big game. And we just haven't seen him that involved in the passing game recently. Granted, he could run for 300 yards on this defense. So I still like Taylor. I wouldn't call him a must play by any means. And I just don't know if we need to target the passing game with such a big spread. I agree with you guys on Jacksonville. I'm not touching anyone. And so, man, I don't know what to do. I'm tempted to take Jacksonville to try to get some leverage off of Chop, but I can't go down with my team week 18. So I'm going to take the under with you, Bear.
All right, next game. This one, not a fun game at all. Washington, 7-point favorites in New York, taking on the Giants. A lot of news in this one. No Mike Glennon. So we will see Jake Fromm here once again this week. Chop, I'll leave that joke for you. Saquon Barkley, questionable here as well on the Giants side. Limited practice today, dealing with an ankle injury. So we'll see if he gives it a go. Antonio Gibson was activated off the COVID list. Limited practice today for him. Kadarius Toney remains questionable, as he's been for about the last 8 weeks here. Limited practice today, dealing with a shoulder injury. So, Derek, we go to you on this one. I just don't see a whole lot in this game. Two teams that are eliminated, a lot of questionable tags. You got Jake Fromm, potentially the quarterback on one side. Very low total in this one, down as low as 37.5, 38 here in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Derek, anything in this game? Maybe the defenses? This one just seems like a pretty easy pass here this week.
Oof, 37.5 point total. That's one of the lower ones we've seen all year. I mean, I'm tempted to go to McLaurin in tournaments. Giants have a pretty beatable secondary, but we just don't know if these teams are even going to care, or you know how many snaps the stars are going to play. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of with you. I don't really want to risk anything here. Same with the Giants side. I've been avoiding their passing game for most of the season. Running backs, there's no reason for Barkley to play, you know, 70 to 80% of the snaps. So I'm with you. In terms of my bet, I can't take either side. So it's down to the over under and 37.5. I just can't. They got to score more than that. Give me the over.
All right, I'm going to go Washington here. I mean, at least they have their quarterback. They have maybe Gibson back. They have McLaurin. I mean, this Giants team with Fromm, potentially without Saquon, it's just it's a disaster. So we don't need to spend much more time on this one. I'll take Washington here. Chop, quick thoughts on this one. Football team and the Giants.
Yeah, it's a really weird game that neither team needs, and it's tough to pull the trigger on DFS, but with that being said, when you get games like this and everybody's totally relaxed now and there's nothing to, you know, play for, sometimes you see these kind of weird things open up into shootouts. So I'm kind of with Derek on that path. I don't mind McLaurin, like you said. I don't mind taking a shot on a McLaurin or something like that. Or on the flip side, who knows if this is the day where one of those Giants wide receivers get loose and finally, you know, meet that potential we've been thinking they've had all year. So I'm with Derek on this one. I'm not doing that on purpose.
Blocking them.
I do want the over just because you can't take a team here. I don't see, like, what team?
Yeah.
Can't take a team. You got to pick between an over or under. That thing is minuscule number. If you think the offenses are going to rest players and not be very well, what do you think the defenses aren't going to be first stringers then? It's going to be second string deep. I'll take the over.
Yeah, I was going to go total, but I thought I'd be different taking the football team. Don't feel good about it for sure, but I got to get off the wall to try to catch up here this week. So, again, we'll update that here momentarily. If you're out in the chat on YouTube, welcome into the show. Not leaving you guys out either, so make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. Subscribing, and we appreciate you guys for hanging out with us for these 18 weeks talking football. So I see Josh Duck in there giving us a little update. Said the smoke duck went off without a hitch, so we love to hear it. This guy stepping up his game for the father-in-law, got it done, so I like it. Adam, what's up to you as well? If you guys have any questions as we go along here on the show, please fire away, and we'll try to mix as many of those in as possible. Next game, guys, Minnesota and Chicago, another game. Two teams that have been eliminated. Vikings, 4-point favorites here at home, 44.5 on this total, Chop. So this one should yield a little bit more interest. DFS-wise, can always look at the running backs. Montgomery getting a ton of work. A good matchup here with Minnesota. Dalvin Cook let a lot of people down, likely in their season-long playoffs with that disaster in Green Bay. But he's in play. They get Kirk Cousins back here. Jefferson's been a monster. Justin Fields back in the lineup on the other side. So, Chop, this one seems a little bit more fantasy friendly than that last game.
Yeah, I think you're going to have definitely some more plays in this game. And so listen to Dalvin Cook talk during the week so far. I think he's motivated for personal reasons in this game. So I'm going to put Dalvin Cook on my radar here. And, of course, assuming Kirk Cousins comes back and plays here, Justin Jefferson's in the mix. And on the flip side, assuming who they get a good quarterback in, I think Darnell Mooney's back in play. And David Montgomery fell into the end zone a couple times last week and paid off. And he's been a guy the last couple of years that's taken over late in the season. So he's on the radar. So those guys are on the radar, I think. And with all that being said, though, I think I'm taking the under here. Both teams, this could go the route of the Washington game where both teams don't have anything to play for, so the defenses just don't show up and they just don't tackle, almost like a Pro Bowl game. I could see that happening, but I'm going to say that, they kind of grind it out a little bit more. I'm taking the under in this game.
All right, Derek, let's go over to you. Again, this one has a lot of ways you can go. Who are you plucking out of this game for DFS?
On the Bears side, I like Mooney a little bit. I like pairing him up with Justin Fields. Fields is really cheap, supposed to be, active and playing this week. And he's shown a bunch of rushing upside the second half of the season. So I don't mind the matchup one bit against Minnesota, especially being indoors. And then Montgomery, like you guys mentioned, he's getting all the work right now. Even last week, played on 68% of the snaps, pretty clear path for 20 touches. So lots to like on Chicago's side. And then, assuming Cousins is under center, I like Jefferson quite a bit as well. I'll probably be avoiding Dalvin. I just don't know if I want to spend that much on a running back that doesn't have anything to play for, but I certainly get the argument. That's a pretty good matchup for him. So I'm going to go the over. I'm going to go opposite of Chop.
All right, well played. I am going to go with the Bears. I like what I've seen out of them, been playing some good football. Obviously, a gimme win last week, but I've been playing hard, been competitive in a lot of games. So I think they hang in this one, so I'll take Chicago with the points. Next game there, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Cleveland up 6-point favorites here. A lot of news today. Joe Mixon tested positive for COVID. He will miss the game this week. Joe Burrow sounds like he's going to sit here. No official word yet on Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, but I'd expect all of these Bengals to be sitting this game out, reflecting that spread, like we said. So Brandon Allen at quarterback, likely Samaje Perine taking over at running back. And you could see guys like Auden Tate, Stanley Morgan, guys we just haven't seen this season. So maybe there's some value there with Cincinnati, Derek. Cleveland side, no Baker Mayfield this week. He has been announced out, so we get Case Keenum, who – probably an upgrade over Baker. He was terrible in that game against Pittsburgh here. But another very low total here, Derek. What are we doing in this one, Bengals and Browns?
Yeah, not a lot to like, but wait-and-see approach with the Bengals. I do think, like you mentioned, there could be some good wide receiver values that open up. And if you do want to build a stars and scrubs type of lineup, this is the week to do it, because we're going to have a lot of those, 3K guys on DraftKings, 5K guys on FanDuel, that we're going to be able to just plug in and kind of hope for the best. So wait and see approach with Cincinnati. Cleveland, I've been avoiding their offense for pretty much the last couple of months. Chubb's really been the only guy that I've looked to. And I mean, he was on the sideline in a pretty big game last week against the Steelers, just with a big coat on in the fourth quarter in a one score game. So if he wasn't getting work last week, I don't think he's going to get a ton of work this week. So, it's a pretty ugly one for DFS. For my pick, I'm going to go ahead and take the Browns just because I think Cincy kind of rests everyone.
All right, I'm going to go under here. I think this one's just going to be a disaster. Cincinnati is locked in. I mean, they have a way outside shot of still being the number one seed in the AFC, but they need a ton of stuff to have. It's not going to happen. The scenario is certainly there, but they would need a lot of help. I think they've already let that ship sail, so they're pretty much locked in here. Cleveland looks like they were done against Pittsburgh. I mean, they couldn't even muster up an effort there. I just see an ugly, ugly game here in this one. So give me the under here, Chop. Any more optimism here? Any value on that Cincinnati side? Do you want to take a shot on Nick Chubb or anything on the Cleveland side? What do you got here, Bengals and Browns?
No, I don't have any more optimism. I don't even know who's going to play for Cincinnati. I just know it's probably not going to be their starters, and for the most part, and I don't want to mess around with that right now. And we'll see if we even need that value down the road. By the time these games kick off on Sunday, or we get the inactive list on Sunday morning, this whole thing is going to be flipped on its head. So I'm not willing right now to take anybody from Cincinnati. And on Cleveland's side, like Derek said, Nick Chubb, even without Kareem Hunt here in these must-win games these last few weeks, still hasn't got the amount of run I thought he would have gotten or should have gotten to keep him competitive with Baker hurt and backup quarterbacks playing one week against the Raiders and everything else. He still isn't getting like that, you know, 100%. Just let's ride Nick Chubb. Just never got it. So I don't think they're going to do it this week either. So as of right now, I don't have anybody on Cleveland on my radar. We'll see how it plays out closer to kickoff. If they say, you know what, Nick Chubb doesn't need to play this week. Kareem Hunt's not coming back this week either. There's no reason for it all. Then maybe D'Ernest Johnson steps into play. We'll see how that plays out. But as of right now, this game doesn't interest me. And for all those reasons, and I also think they sit some defensive players, so this could be tricky, but I'm going to take the under here. I don't want to be rude and just take all Derek's picks here. So, I'm going to take the under here because, like you said, I think this game could get ugly anyway.
Hey, we're doing it fair. We're bouncing it back and forth. You're each going to make a selection first, and the other guy can choose to block or whatever he wants to do. So Chop being a gentleman there.
I mean, I'm not playing fair. I'm just taking the opposite of Chop every time.
two different styles. So we'll see if the nice guy finishes last here. But we got a lot of games to go here. Next up, Tennessee and Houston. Titans, big 10-point favorites, total sitting at 43. Big news here, Derrick Henry activated. I don't know if we see him or not here this week, guys, so give your thoughts on that. Tennessee currently sitting as the number one seed in the AFC. It's as simple as they win, they lock up that number one seed and a bye. If they lose, there's still ways that they can be the number one seed, but they need losses by Kansas City, Cincinnati, and New England, or Kansas City, Cincinnati losing, and Buffalo winning. So the easiest path, the simplest path, is to go into Houston and win this game. Chop, is it that simple for them? Do you think we get Derrick Henry? If not, Deonta Foreman is in a great spot here, gets a revenge game, a Houston team that has struggled against the run. Do you want to go with A.J. Brown here? And then Houston, again, it's always Brandon Cooks or bust, gets a good matchup here with a bad Tennessee secondary. So, Chop, thoughts on Derrick Henry, yes or no? And the rest of this game, Titans, Texans, what do you got?
No, I do not think we see Derrick Henry. I don't think they've been really – I mean, this guy, Vrabel, deserves probably coach of the year, to be honest. He's, you know, the things he's done with the injuries, and they're still going to be the number one seed probably in the AFC. He deserves a lot of credit. They've been winning games without Henry, and they get a week off now. If they win this game, they get a week off. That's two extra weeks for Henry to heal up even more. I'm sure they trust him to just come right into a football game in the playoffs and smash. I don't think he needs a whole lot of work to get in that rhythm. So, no, I don't think we see Derrick Henry this week. And I think Tennessee comes out and they do. Yeah, Foreman is in play here. A.J. Brown is in play. Tannehill's in play because I think they come out, put the smoking on Houston, get their number one seed, and then relax the second half. Houston, not interested in them. Tennessee's been a really good defense this year. And I just don't have – I mean, Cooks, sometimes. If I was going to play one guy, it would be Cooks, but I'm not even that interested in him. So just the Tennessee side for me. Because of that, I think Tennessee comes out, covers this spread, puts them away early, and relaxes after that.
All right, I'm going to go to the Houston side here, not just to be different from Chop. That's a little bonus for me. But they like some of the teams we've talked about, I've been competitive here. Davis Mills, we'll see. I mean, this guy's put some pretty good tape on the board as the audition to be the franchise quarterback for this team. So I think they're pesky enough at home. I think they're still fighting. I don't think they've packed it in yet. And Tennessee is one of those teams that they tend to slip up a little bit in these spots. So I think they get the win. I think they lock up the number one seed. Maybe they fall asleep at the wheel a little bit. I think the Texans compete. But I do like Deonta Foreman a ton in this spot, getting a ton of work here. A very good matchup with this Texans team once again. So, Derek, we got a Houston. We got a Tennessee on the board. So you can match one of those. Grab a total. What are we doing here? Titans, Texans.
Man, if you just looked at the storylines from the Titans this year, you would think they'd be .500 team, maybe even lower. We've talked about Tannehill not being nearly as efficient. We've talked about Derrick Henry being out since week 8. Julio Jones has been a non-factor. A.J. Brown's been out a lot. Their defense was really bad in the first half of the season. now they're going to be the number one seed in the AFC. So just wild. I agree with Chop. I think the coach certainly deserves Coach of the Year. And DFS-wise, yeah, I like A.J. Brown in the spot quite a bit. I don't mind bringing him back with Brandon Cooks. Probably won't mess with the running games. Probably won't mess with either quarterback. But I think that little skinny stack makes a lot of sense. And for my pick, I'm going to agree with Chop. I'm going to go with the Titans.
All right, let's move on. Baltimore and Pittsburgh up next here. Both of these teams still have something to play for here. Pittsburgh is alive. They can clinch a playoff berth with a win, but they also need an Indianapolis loss. So we talked about that game being a huge spread. Baltimore needs even more help. They can get in with a win, but they need losses by Indy, Cleveland, the Chargers, and the Dolphins to make it in. So highly unlikely here. We do get the last game for Ben Roethlisberger. We saw him get his Heinz Field send-off in that last game. So, Derek, let's stay with you here. We'll see if we get Lamar Jackson back on that Baltimore side. But two teams that know each other well, two teams that technically still have something to play for here, but another very low total in this one. What are we doing here, Steelers, Ravens?
Yeah, so both these teams really need my Jags to come through and beat the Colts this week.
Good luck.
So, yeah, I mean, division rivalry game, pretty low total, you know, late in the year. I don't have a ton of interest in this one. Maybe look at Mark Andrews. He's been playing really well. But, I mean, that price is really tough to swallow at this point. There will be a lot of value, so it'll be easier to get those guys into your lineups. I think, you know, maybe look at Deontay Johnson, guy that just continues to get double-digit targets every week. Najee looked a lot better last week than he had in the past, but he's kind of been struggling with efficiency. So we know the offense is going to go through those two. I won't be taking Ben in his last game, but you know, I'll be watching this one. I'm sure it'll be emotional for him. So hopefully he can go out on top. And just because it's a divisional game and Ben's last game, I think the Steelers put up a good performance, and I'll take the points on the road.
Yeah, I'm on Pittsburgh here as well. It's just too many points to me that, you know, it's going to be an ugly divisional type game as far as DFS. I like the pass catchers here for Pittsburgh. We know that Baltimore secondary, I've been very vulnerable each and every week. So Deontay, if you want to go back to the Claypool, well, even a Pat Freiermuth here. I don't love the matchup for Najee Harris. I know he was great the other night. I broke that long run at the end of that game to really help some people in season-long leagues. But mostly Pittsburgh pass catchers for me here, Chop. Pretty hands-off on Baltimore. If Lamar's back, he's always intriguing. But what version of him do we get is my question. So, Chop, what are we doing here? Steelers, Ravens.
Yeah, I would certainly rather have Huntley in there for DFS purposes than Huntley would be in play. And so would Mark Andrews. So with Lamar back, yeah, you keep Lamar in your player pool because you just never know when he's going to go crazy. So and then that, I think that would – maybe boost up Marquise Brown a little bit. So we'll see how that all plays out. And on the other side, Pittsburgh, yeah, I'm with you guys. Big Ben, maybe. Najee, tough matchup, but there's just the sheer volume. Deontay is the workhorse there with Big Ben at quarterback. So all those guys are in play. It's interesting that you got a game where actually two teams, yeah, it's outside shot, but at least one of the few games where both teams actually have a crack at something here. So that's a tough one, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm tempted to take Pittsburgh here just because 5.5. Like, what gives Baltimore the right to give 5.5 to anybody? It's baffling. They haven't been good, and Pittsburgh needs it. Pittsburgh has more of an inside track to the playoffs than Baltimore. And this would be the first one on our parlay card, too. So I think Pittsburgh. I'm going to have to go. They might have
Pittsburgh
to go Pittsburgh
for the here. Block.
Let's go.
I mean, what else? I can't take Baltimore -5.5. Yeah, they've lost like 5 in a row, man.
For the block. All right. I know that. I'll add it to the parlay. I can't believe you're doing Derek like that.
I've bent enough here. I've been pretty flexible.
Hey,
so far.
You got to do you, man. It's the last week. So, Pittsburgh.
Big Ben's last game. Come on.
There you go. There you go.
The nostalgia, man. You guys remember the nostalgia. Big Ben, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell like that little four-year gap where they were the nuts in DFS, man.
Like the present-day Chiefs. People love Mahomes, Kelce, Hill. That Pittsburgh stack won a lot of people a lot of money with Ben, Never Antonio, and Le'Veon. It was unbelievable. So
can we talk about Antonio?
Oh man,
you open this can of worms. Have at it.
I mean, well, my teams were looking pretty good at one point last week, and then I see him with his shirt off. I was watching Red Zone, and they just cut to him firing up the crowd with his shirt off in the end zone, and I knew from that point on it was going to be pretty ugly. So have we heard why he decided to do that?
He's claiming he's hurt. I read a little bit about this more. It's still dealing with that ankle injury. They were trying to force him to go back in the game. He did not want to go back in the game. So basically said, F it, I'm out of here. Now, over the last couple of days, his friends have gotten behind him and said, go get tested and show them that you're hurt. Reports are that he truly is. The injury has gotten worse. So it's going to be one of those he said, she said things. They said he was going to be gone. I don't think they've cut him yet, as far as I'm aware. So, Chop, any more insight on this Antonio Brown? It was crazy. I mean, how many people want to do that? Like, they're done with a job. Like, I'm out. Like, just take everything off and peace out. So, Chop, any thoughts on this AB situation?
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, but I just think that, yeah, everything you said is the same thing I heard, the injury and everything. I think at first everybody was thinking, well, he's not getting his bonus. He's not getting enough targets and he wants his bonuses. No, I think it's the opposite. I think he didn't want to be in the game. I think he was legit not feeling well, and then they needed him in there, but he just couldn't go, and that's on them if that's the case. So I'll say this much about the guy. You can pile on him all you want, but he probably does have some serious issues mentally. So, and it's not just because he got rattled by Vontaze Burfict a few years ago or whatever. It's just, I think everything he's done in his whole life has led up to this, a really tough childhood from what I've read. So, you know, he's probably got a few mental issues and he deserves to get past it. And to be honest with you, I kind of don't think he wants to play football anymore anyway. So, good luck on him finding whatever's next in life for him, but I don't think it should be on a football field anymore.
Yeah, I believe it's dropping rap singles is the next career for Antonio Brown, trying to be like Le'Veon. So I agree, though. I think there's a lot more going on. His teammates have certainly been supportive of him throughout this whole thing, even the last couple of days. So we'll see what happens there, but interesting nonetheless. So before we transition to the afternoon slate, and the NFL has hooked us up again. They keep all the teams together that they're not going to allow any scoreboard watching. They've done a good job with this over the past couple seasons, keeping teams that are fighting with each other in similar times. So we have a six-game afternoon slate, which is always fun for DFS. Gives you another slate to win that money back. So before we do that, as we always do, let's take a look back at last week in our OGs contest, highlight the top five finishers here. We had Twolinski finish in fifth place, 168.64 for them in that contest. Russell Wilson, 2% owned, 27 FanDuel points. Boston Scott, another low-owned play with 22 fantasy points. Amon-Ra St. Brown in that same game with Russell Wilson, 31 FanDuel points. So a lot of low-owned plays in this lineup going off for Twolinski. So congrats to them. Pokey finishes in fourth place, 170.64. Had the Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase stack. We saw that score a ton of points, almost 85 FanDuel points for that combination here. So that rode them to a fourth place finish. David Montgomery also productive in that lineup. Third place, C. Mitch, 355, 176.88. Justin Herbert, a Keenan Allen stack, had Jamar Chase in that line of 50 FanDuel points. Eli Mitchell with a 20 spot there, along with David Montgomery and Darrell Williams. So getting 20 plus from all of their running backs. New York Giants fan, 128, coming in second place, 180.54. So nice score here on FanDuel. Had the Burrow, Higgins, and Chase combo. T. Higgins kind of let him down there, 7 fantasy points. Just Antoine Wesley, under 1% owned with 17 FanDuel points. Darrell Williams in this lineup as the running back, and Sony Michel, Jonathan Taylor at the running back positions. And our winner, love this screen name, Bald Dugwin, rocking the RG badge. So not only taking home $400 in this contest, 181.96, also qualifying for our added bonus of a free year of Roto Grinders Premium. So congrats to Bald Dugwin. Matthew Stafford in this lineup here with Cooper Kupp, had Jamar Chase, Had a big game from Rashad Penny as well, 31 FanDuel points. Boston Scott in this lineup, and the New Orleans defense with 15 FanDuel points. So congrats to Bald Dugwin winning week 17, taking down $400 along with a free year of Roto Grinders premium combo chop. Let's take a look at the season-long leaderboard. Looks like our boy, girl, whoever it may be, 4794 has been very impressive this season. I've been atop this thing the majority of the year, and this lead looks pretty insurmountable at this point. We've been saying over the last couple of weeks, anyone has a shot here, but it's going to take an epic fail by 4794 to not win. Again, $5,000 going to go to the winner of this season-long payout. I was wrong the other day. Looks like top 10 are going to get paid. I see our boy Notorious right there on the pay line, right under it at 12th place. So still a shot to win some money for Derek here. But Chop, any other findings here in this leaderboard?
No, it's pretty tame. We're down to 1 week, and it looks like this thing's, you know, the number one spot is just about locked up. It would take for like a miracle, like you said, for that not to hit. But, you know, these other guys are battling it out for second, third, fourth, et cetera. So that's going to be a pretty tight squeeze. There's only 2 points separating second from third and all the other good stuff. And, yeah, Notorious wants to tell us it hadn't been a good year for him, but he's at 12th place, man. you can go through two pages of this and not find my name. So
yeah, I'm the same.
You're having a great year compared to mine.
Hey, I'm the king of bubbling contests, so I'm going to finish 11th.
Calling a shot. I'm like, yeah, Derek, you're at least one of us had to represent. Chop and I, it's been a rough go. I had a decent week this last week, but a little too little too late here in this contest. But it's been fun. So I want to say thank you to the people over at FanDuel for helping us set this up. We spent a lot of time back and forth kind of putting this thing together. So appreciate them working with us, putting this contest together, and appreciate you guys, the listeners out there, for supporting the show, supporting this tournament. We hope to do more of this in the future with FanDuel. So thank you so much for playing. Make sure we finish on a high note. Let's finish this thing. Let's fill this thing in the last week. So again, FanDuel.com/OG. Even if you're not going to win anything on the leaderboard, there's still $400 up top to the winner. There's still a potential to win a year of Roto Grinders combo premium. That's over $1,000 in value. So no reason not to come play against us. Plus bragging rights here on the show. So $7 buy-in on that one. All the information you need, FanDuel.com/OG. We got to update our season long picks here as well. A pretty solid week across the board. Last week, Chop notching 8 wins in week 17, Derek and I with 7. So everybody, with their head above water last week. But Chop continues to lead the way here with 108 correct. Derek sitting in second place, 3 behind at 105. So Chop keeps blocking him. And Chop's going to walk away with the title here. And I am down at 99. I need a miracle and a half here. Looks like a 2-horse race here. I'll be excited to see how this thing finishes up. So let's move on, guys. Afternoon again. We got 6 games on the afternoon slate. We'll start with Carolina and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, 8-point favorites here, 41.5 on the total here. I forgot who's supposed to lead off on this one. I want to keep this thing fair. So who's up here to go first?
I don't remember. I'll let Derek go first. If you
nope, want Chop, you're up. You went last on the Pittsburgh play. So we're going to start with you here. Tampa Bay again locked in. Green Bay, we know, has that number one seed locked up, so not much movement can happen here with Tampa Bay. So what do you think they do here? It's another scenario. Is everyone going to play here? Running backs, obviously the question here. Ronald Jones in a walking boot, so they're going to keep him out for a couple days, so we may get a week of Keyshawn Vaughn, potentially Le'Veon Bell, who we saw worked in last week. Mike Evans, looks like no injury designation for him. Carolina side, Robbie Anderson with a questionable tag here for the Carolina Panthers. So, Chop, spot Tampa Bay can roll. They could rest some guys. What do you think they do in this one here against Carolina?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways this one could go because I don't know how much they value where they get seated in the playoffs. I don't know if they value that at all or if they, you know, if there's any, you know, there's any extra motivation to.
Yeah, they can still move. The Rams could still pop up to number two. So then you're, you know, do you want a home game or not? Yeah. Is the motivation there?
That's the question, is how much does that motivate a team like Tampa Bay? Do they value a home game in the second round, potentially, maybe, if they get lucky and some other teams lose? Do you value that more than you do resting some guys for a half or a full game here? I don't know their mindset. Wouldn't be surprised if Sunday morning rolls around and the guy comes on TV and says, yeah, Tampa's not going to play Brady and Mike Evans is going to rest. You know, they don't want it. So as of right now, I'm not interested in this game very much. I know Tampa Bay's not good anyway. Maybe DJ Moore, because he's probably the most dynamic offensive player anyway, and it's a bad secondary, even if they were fully healthy going at it. So maybe DJ Moore. On the flip side, Tampa scares me a lot. I got a feeling they'll be resting some guys. At the very least, I don't think we'll see a full game out of Brady, Gronk, Mike Evans, and these guys. So not really interested in Tampa right now. We'll see if that changes. And maybe they say the report comes in Keyshawn Vaughn's going to be the workhorse. And if that's the case, then maybe I could go with a Keyshawn Vaughn. But we'll see how that plays out. But otherwise, this game is not interesting to me. So I'm taking the under in this game.
Yeah, the spread seems a little bit low at Tampa -8. So that's kind of the tea leaves of what's going on with this one. You think this would be a double-digit spread. So you're probably on to something here, Chop. They probably rest some of these guys. Maybe you get the same scenario. They play a half or something. But it's I don't know about firing Tampa Bay up, but like you normally would in this spot. Derek, agree or disagree with that DFS-wise? Ronald Jones potentially misses this game. So do you trust Keyshawn Vaughn enough to make him a DFS play here?
I mean, if he's the guy, I will definitely be playing a lot of Keyshawn Vaughn. It sounds like Fournette's going to be back for the first round. At least that's what they're hoping. And, you know, Jones could be back too. So they have no reason to limit Vaughn in this spot. They might limit Brady and Evans and Gronk. But I think it's, you know, full go for Vaughn here. And he's really cheap. So, yeah, give me a lot of him. And then on the other side, I love the spot for DJ Moore. I know he struggled last week. That was more on Darnold than anything else. But Darnold's going to be back. We've seen him, you know, just pepper more with targets time and time again. And Tampa Bay, they're really bad in the secondary. They continue to give up big performances to opposing receivers. So I like the idea of skinny stacking more with Vaughn. And for my pick, I'm going to take the over because I think Carolina can put up points, and I don't think Tampa Bay is going to lose. So give me the over.
Pop, you took the under, correct?
It is correct.
Okay. Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just want to make sure I got the records correct here. I'm going to take Tampa Bay here. Carolina, even with Darnold back, they're outmatched in this one. I think Tampa Bay does enough, puts this thing to bed early, and kind of coasts from there on. So give me Tampa Bay. Next up, New Orleans, -4.5 here in Atlanta here. The Saints still clinch a playoff berth with a win. They also need a 49ers loss to the Rams here. So still something to play here for the New Orleans Saints. Unfortunately, 40.5 point total here, Derek. It's a good matchup for New Orleans, the skill players. But it's Taysom Hill, who is always in play. Alvin Kamara, who we haven't seen that blow-up game yet. The receivers are generally hit and miss between Callaway, Traquan Smith, and such. Atlanta, it's been Cordero Patterson or bust here. So low total here, Derek. Are you excited about this New Orleans offense or a game you're kind of staying away from here?
Low total, but great matchup for the Saints. If Mark Ingram is out again, I'll love the spot for Alvin Kamara. We know running backs against the Falcons, that's been a thing for years. So I think it's a really good spot for him. Even if Ingram's active, I'll still look to Kamara in some tournaments. Taysom, I don't really want to play the passing game, but I'm okay using him as a cheaper, you know, cash game type of quarterback. He offers the really high floor. It's a good matchup indoors, all that good stuff. Falcons side. I think Gage is interesting. Does Pitts have an injury designation? I remember he left last game.
Let me look here. I didn't see one.
He didn't practice Wednesday, it sounds like. So
let's see. Yes, he is questionable.
So if he's out, you know, maybe look to Hayden Hurst. He's really cheap. And then even more targets to Gage and Patterson. So I think there could be, you know, more interesting pieces to this game than the total would lead you to believe. But give me the Saints for my pick.
All right, Chop, let's go to you here. Same question. Do you trust this New Orleans offense? Is Taysom a guy you want to roll out a quarterback? Kamara, at the high-end running back spots, and then anything on the Atlanta side is maybe a run it back option.
Taysom and Kamara, I think, are in play here, and that's it. I don't want to touch the wide receivers. On the flip side, nobody for Atlanta does anything for me. I do think that Kyle Pitts is not going to – I mean, just my personal opinion is I don't think he plays this week. So I think they kind of maybe Atlanta takes their foot off the gas pedal, and I like the Saints here. They have to win to get into the playoffs, and they actually have a legit chance when you look at their path, because we'll talk about this game coming up here in just a couple of games from now. I think they need – San Fran to lose on the road to the Rams, which is very doable. So New Orleans has a legit chance here to go ahead and win this game. I think they win it. I think they walk away with it. And so that's definitely my pick right there. And also, did you guys know that if Indianapolis loses, I forgot to mention this earlier, they flexed out the Chargers-Raiders game to Sunday night.
Yep.
Because winner gets into the playoffs. That's it, flat out. You know, so it's one of the few games like that this week. So they flexed it out. But if Indianapolis loses, the Chargers and Raiders would both get in if they end up tied. So what are the odds that Indianapolis loses to Jacksonville and those guys make a gentleman's agreement on Sunday Night Football to just end in a 0-0 tie, just like nothing but 2 yard gains up the middle all game. And I don't know that the NFL would let it happen, but it's a very interesting scenario.
That would be comedy gold. They just go out there and kneel down the whole time and no one's playing. So interesting scenario nonetheless, but we'll see. That would be funny. So Chop, you went New Orleans there. I'm going to go with the over. I do think we get a little bit of scoring in this game, a pretty low number here. So, give me the over 40.5. Next up, New England and Miami. New England, obviously, a lot to play for here. Still, the AFC East title hangs in the balance here. So they win that with a win and a Buffalo loss here. Patriots will be at least the number five seed with a win. They can still clinch home field in the AFC with a win, but they need losses by Buffalo, Tennessee, and Kansas City to accomplish that. So probably a long shot here, but the division's still in flux here, Chop. So do they go to Miami, get things done? We know Brian Flores knows this team very well. Miami was on a roll, kind of slipped up last week in Tennessee, but a home spot here with New England. How do you think this one plays out?
I think New England wins this game. I think that plays out. I think that they go in there and they do what they do, and they lean on the running game. And Damian Harris got a half a game off last week. It was such a blowout. They didn't have to play him hardly in the second half at all. So he should be rested. And, knowing Belichick, he's played guys, you know, week 17 before with the slightest thing on the line. So he should be good to go. These guys should all be good to go here. I think they lean on him with the running game. So Harris and Stevenson both in play for me. And the Miami defense has been good, but they're out of it now. So there's got to be like this mental let up a little bit here. And I don't trust Tua, and I don't trust the running game for Miami. So, I mean, you could play Waddle, but he's a one-man show right now, and I'm not sure I want to commit to him this week. So I'm just on the New England running game mainly here, and I'm on New England minus the points here. I think they go in, take care of business, and then kick back and see where the seeding takes them in the playoffs.
All right, Damian Harris is questionable. They asked him about how that hamstring's doing. He says he's fine, so – just something to monitor here. If he's out, obviously Ramondre Stevenson gets a bump, but I'm with you. I like this running game. Not the best matchup. Miami's been pretty solid here, but I do like the running game here for the New England Patriots. Derek, let's go over to you. Patriots, 6.5-point favorites here. Still a shot to win this division. How does this one play out?
Give me a full fade of this game for DFS. If Harris is active, if he's out, you can look to Stevenson, but like you guys mentioned, we don't want to target anyone against the Patriots. Dolphins have nothing to play for. You know, a lot on the line last week, and they put up a dud. So I think they kind of just, mail it in, and New England rolls. So give me them for my pick. And, just not a lot to like for DFS.
All right, we're going to add this one to the parlay card. I like the Patriots here as well. I just think they take care of business, like you guys said. So second addition to the parlay card along with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see if we add to that here. Still Three games to go. Next up, Buffalo. We just talked about them again. Can win the division with a win. Looks very likely here, Derek. 16.5-point favorites here at home against the New York Jets. That total sitting at 41.5. So, ton of ways that you can go with this Buffalo team. As far as the Jets, Michael Carter in the concussion protocol. Braxton Berrios, who's been pretty solid here over the last couple weeks, also dealing with an injury. So they're already down to the bottom of the barrel guys, Derek. They may be down a couple more playmakers here. Does Buffalo just roll in this spot at home?
I do think Buffalo rolls for sure. It's a good matchup for them. They can, you know, run, they can pass, whatever they want to do in this spot. It's kind of a, you know, get right before the playoffs type of game for them. Singletary's been great, especially in easy matchups. He's been getting the bulk of the work, and no reason for that not to continue this week. So I like Singletary. You know, Allen's still one of the better cash game quarterbacks out there. You can pair him up with Diggs, Sanders, Beasley. Not Sanders, but maybe Gabe Davis a little bit. So I like everyone on Buffalo's side. I do worry that they get up big and then, you know, kind of wave the white flag a little bit at the end. But Jets side, if Berrios is active and Crowder's out, I'll have a little interest in Berrios. If Crowder's active and Berrios is out, I'll have a little interest in Crowder. And that's about it for me. For my pick, give me the Bills in a rout.
Yeah, Crowder back at practice today. Other side, Emmanuel Sanders missed practice. So those fringe wide receivers, we got to keep you updated there as well. Chop, let's go to you here. Buffalo obviously in a great spot here. Passing game, running game, both. What do you want to do here against the Jets?
Can you read what I wrote down before Derek started talking? I wrote down Buffalo. I was going to be on Buffalo. So I'm not just mimicking his picks here.
We got to see proof here.
You need to switch your camera.
Okay, you got to switch off the lineup. Oh, now you can't.
Yeah, I have Buffalo. I had Buffalo for the same reason, like the Jets, week 18. Yeah, Buffalo, a little bit to play for here, good enough. Sometimes these teams like the Jets in week 18 just like, yeah, they've been competitive up until now, but now it's like the last day of school. You kind of start to wind down from school like a few days before, but the last day is like, well, it's over with now. We're not even doing no work the last day of school. Last week, week 18. Yeah, we'll really mail it in. So I think Buffalo's got just enough to play for to put it on them early and get out of this game with a win. But, like, I hope they don't get the spread bust on them. But I'm on Buffalo here.
All right, I'm going to go under. I think this could be another one. They get up big. They kind of salt the game away. We could have some weather concerns. So I don't have mine written down like Chop did. But I'm going to go under here on this 41.5. All right, next game. Probably one of the game of the weeks here, San Francisco. And the LA Rams, we have the Rams 4-point favorites here at home, 44.5 on the total. Lots to play for both of these teams. The Rams can clinch the NFC West with a win here in week 18 or an Arizona loss to Seattle. We're going to talk about that game next. Currently sitting as the number one, as the number two seed, I should say. They do hold that tiebreaker with Tampa Bay. So they could flop around, but the Rams win. They sit in that number two spot. San Francisco. We know they can clinch a playoff spot with a win here or a New Orleans loss to Atlanta, currently sitting as the sixth seed here, and they do hold the tiebreaker with Philadelphia. So, Chop, a lot on the line here for both of these teams, but San Francisco has a lot to play for here. Playoff lives on the line. Jimmy Garoppolo, we'll see if he's back in the lineup here. Elijah Mitchell's been great for this team. Debo Samuel been fantastic. Rams side and Cooper Kupp threatening a lot of records here. Receptions, receiving yards still in distance to break those records. So a lot going on in this game, Chop. Very fantasy-friendly game. Who are you looking at here, 49ers and Rams?
I'm looking at a lot of people just because, one of the games with a lot on the line here. I know L.A. probably, you know, a little bit less than Frisco, which is win or go home probably, but – still means a lot to them. The Rams, I'm really worried about them. I think they were my Super Bowl favorite for a long time, and I think they still are. We can talk about that later on. Maybe we'll even do a playoff show and talk about the Super Bowl favorites.
But there you go.
But I like the Rams. I think the Rams are one of the teams that could get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. But, man, they're struggling on offense for some reason here. I don't know what – I can't put my finger on it. They've been relatively healthy. Maybe Robert Woods, maybe the loss of Robert Woods was a lot more than we could have ever imagined. I don't know, but they haven't looked great for quite a while now. So they need to get back on track offensively. Frisco needs to win this game and get in. I think that they're going to give the LA defense all they can handle and more. I don't know how they're going to do it, through the air or on the ground, however they do it, but they're going to need to win here. So I think all these guys are in play in a must-win game. For the Rams, same situation. I don't mind Michelle if he's going to get the bulk of the carries again. I definitely want a piece of the passing game here. Kupp, Beckham, Jefferson, Stafford, I think are all in play. So I think the offense is whatever. This is one of the best games of the day, offensively, DFS, and real life. So fire up anybody. I'm taking the over in this game. Give me the over.
All right. As far as Cooper Kupp goes, needs 12 receptions to break the record here and 136 receiving yards to break that record. He has commented on, there should be separate records for, 16 weeks, 17 weeks. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of that. But the point is, in a good spot here, a record's on the line. I'm going to go with San Francisco in this one. I think, again, a lot to play for here for the 49ers. The Rams could decide, hey, we're good, we're winning, we're losing, whatever it may be, and kind of pack it in for the day. I just think the Niners, the more motivated team, I'm getting the 4 points, I'm going that route. So, Derek, what do you got here? Niners-Rams, should be a fun one.
Should be a fun one. If I'm prioritizing, one spend-up option in my lineups this week is going to be Cooper Kupp, at least 90 yards in every single game but one so far this season. And he's got the records to chase, all that good stuff. 171 yards, and he gets the 2,000, which would be a lot of fun. So I love Cooper Kupp. I like Sony Michel as well. Michel, just for whatever reason, they're not pricing him up like a guy that, was getting 20-plus touches a game. And then other side, it just depends on who's under center. If Lance is the guy, then I'll go, just roll out Lance as sort of a naked play at quarterback. If Jimmy G is under center, I like Kittle quite a bit. And, Mitchell's fine too. So I like a lot of pieces in this game. And I'm going to agree with you, Beer. I'm going to go with the Niners.
All right, last game, we got Arizona and Seattle. Obviously, Seattle eliminated from playoff contention. Arizona can win the NFC West with a win and a Rams loss. Arizona's pretty much locked in. They can't go any lower than 5 here. Derek, let's wrap this thing up here. Arizona, again, still plenty to play for here. They're not going to be able to scoreboard watch. You got to think they're going to be going all out here. Seattle, we finally got an offensive explosion, a big DK Metcalf game, a big Rashad Penny game. So do they go into Arizona and potentially win this game, stay competitive? Finish this up here. Seattle, Arizona.
Haven't been too impressed with the Cardinals over the last couple of months, and we've seen a little bit of life from Seattle. This could be Russ's last game with the Seahawks, so I think some pride's in play here. I think they keep it close enough. So for my pick, I'm going to go with Seattle. And then DFS-wise, love the spot for Metcalf. I'm still not falling for Penny. I know he's looked great, but I just can't do it, especially at this elevated price point. And on the opposite side, yeah, if Connor's out again, love Edmonds. And if not, I'll just play some Kirk and Kyler Murray.
All right, I'm going to go under on this one. It's a pretty high number. They could certainly get there, no doubt. But I think there'll be a little bit of struggles here. You're not going to get a 50 spot from Seattle. Like we saw last week, you mentioned Arizona, Derek. Big win in Dallas. Kind of surprising to see that be the spot that they bounce back. But I'm going to go under this number. Like a lot of guys in DFS, pretty much on the same page with you here on DK Metcalf. We'll see if Connor Edmonds, what that split looks like. There's some value with those Arizona wide receivers, but under for me. Chop, finish this up here for the regular season. Cardinals and Seahawks, what do we got?
Yeah, I agree with the offenses on this play. Russell, Metcalf's coming alive. Lockett could always be the guy, so they're all in play. Penny's looked great here this last half of the season, so he's in play. And Arizona, to get back on track, I think they're all those guys are in play also offensively. So I think it's a fine game for DFS to target at this point until something else happens and we get some more plays from other games that are must plays. As far as the pick is concerned, I'm gonna need you to tell me what the spread is again.
The spread is 6.5.
The touchdown under a touchdown is good. I'll go ahead and take Arizona here.
All right, Arizona. The picks are locked in. So We'll see how it plays out. We will. A little breaking news here. Not our last show for the year. We will be back for the playoffs as well, at least the first 2 weeks, to break down the playoff matchups. Chop, I know you mentioned some Super Bowl odds, so we'll certainly be able to do that on next week's show, having the full playoff bracket and breaking things down, maybe finding some spots in the FanDuel Sportsbook to take advantage of. We won't have as many games to break down, so we can dive a little bit deeper on these games, props, things like that. So excited to continue going a little bit of overtime here on the DFS OGs pod, talking some playoff football. But we're through week 18. What I'll tell you, pay attention to the news. There's going to be a lot of things happening, a lot of moving parts here. We did our best to give our initial look, but a lot of these things may change as you get closer to Sunday. So make sure you're hitting rotogrinders.com. Download the app, news right to your phone. When anything happens, practice alerts, COVID alerts. So you're certainly going to want to be armed with that heading into week 18. But guys, we made it. It's been a fun 18 weeks. I always love talking football with the both of you, and we still got a couple more weeks to go. So no goodbyes just of yet, but we need some final thoughts here. Chop, week 18, always a tricky one. What do you got here for the people?
Always very tricky. Tread lightly. Tread very lightly, because especially in those GPPs, you just don't know. I've seen the last week of the year where the craziest people step up and win GPPs, and you were never in contention because you didn't have a particular player. So tread lightly in GPPs. Pay attention to the news. That's what the Discord is for. And otherwise, we get back to some really, really good football next week, and we'll be back to talk about it.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Derek, final thoughts for the people here, week 18. What do you got?
Yeah, good advice from Chop. And I'm sitting here. My office is down in the basement, and halfway through the show, my feet started getting wet. It's been snowing here the last couple weeks, and it's been warm today. So I think I got some little flooding going on. So, yeah, that's going to be my next couple hours.
Not fun. That's good luck with that. I hate to hear it. Hopefully just a minor, something. Maybe a little man's just taking a leak and it's dripping your way on the floor. That'd be much better than anything going on in the basement. So good luck with that, Derek. Hopefully nothing major going on there. Thank you to everybody for listening. As always, remember, FanDuel.com/OG. Come play with us one more week here in the regular season. Still a shot to win some free RotoGrinders premium. Still plenty of money on the line as well, plus bragging rights against us. And check out all the other great offerings at FanDuel, DFS, Casino, and, of course, the Sportsbook. So that will do it here for Week 18 on the DFS OGs pod for Notorious, for Head Chopper. I am Beer Singh Salu. We are the DFS OGs. Thank you so much for listening. Best of luck here in Week 18, and we'll see you next week talking playoffs. Thanks for listening, guys. We're out.